is coming into a place of maturity. And usually believers that as they start their walk in life, all of us start off being young in the Lord. How many of you know that every one of you here started out like a baby? You know what I mean? And so as you're starting out in life, the gifts of the Spirit, I've never seen this until recently myself, is I begin to realize that the gifts of the Spirit were designed for the church, not just an evangelistic tool to get people saved, but also a tool for supernatural guidance for believers in the body of Christ. And what I mean by supernatural guidance is as we all grow in development, in our development with each other, there's a time we do need a word from God, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. There's times when we need a miracle. There's times when we need prophecy, and they're all basically, these gifts are all given to the body of Christ so that you have this supernatural guidance to bring you to a place of maturity. And that's why when they talked about the gifts being done away with at the end of 1 Corinthians 13, when you go into chapter 14, he says the same thing that he said at the end of chapter 12. Before he gets into chapter 13, forbid not to speak in tongues. But well, no, that was in 1 Corinthians 14. But at the end of that chapter, he exhorted the body to covet these gifts. But I show you a more excellent way. Then he gets into 13 talking about love. And as he ends that, he said, I spake as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. He wasn't talking about putting away the gifts of the Spirit. What he was talking about, putting away childish things, meaning the way that I used to live, the way that I used to think, the way that I used to walk. But before that, he talked about these gifts, whether it be knowledge, whether it be prophecy, whether there be speaking in tongues, all these will cease. What he was referring to is that as you're growing up in the Lord and you get the supernatural guidance occasionally, he says, in that supernatural guidance, you get to a place where you don't need that prophecy anymore, or you don't need that tongue anymore, or you don't need that supernatural imparting because you've gone into maturity. You follow me? So therefore, that prophecy or that tongue isn't important to you anymore, because once that prophecy is fulfilled, it's no longer useful for you. I hope. But most believers want to live in that realm. Well, that's the realm of immaturity. So when you get into the realm of maturity, rather than the gifts being more used on your behalf, you're being used in the gifts on someone else's behalf. Because, see, when you grow up, you put away childish things, you go on into maturity. Because how did I come up with that assumption? Well, when you get into at the end of chapter 13, he says the same thing he started at the end of chapter 12. Covet these gifts. Covet them. Well, if they've done away with, why would he mention covenant again? Then when he gets to the end of chapter 14, he says, forbid not to speak in tongues and to prophesy. So, you know, when did they cease? Well, it's because they never did. They still exist today. Well, how do I know? Well, I was used in the gift. How many of you received a word from God? How many of you received a healing from God? Well, they must be operating or you're liars. You know, something's got to be working for you. Amen. Now, I didn't want to get off on that, but I guess I did. Anyway, when you get into 1 Corinthians chapter 2 here, Paul had a problem with the church. The church came behind in no gift. I mean, they were filthy rich when it come to the operation of the gifts of the Spirit, but they didn't know how to use them with finesse. They were like bull in china closet. You ever heard that expression, a bull in a china closet? Well, they'd blow people out of the water because a lot of people were not a part of their membership, and they would come and visit. Or they weren't even saved and they got into the midst of a real spiritually happening church and they'd think everybody's crazy. And so Paul had to give instruction. By the way, the book of 1 Corinthians is a book of milk for the believer. Can you believe that? And that is where Paul served as an apostle in the area of a pastor more than any other of his writings. Paul, you know, a lot of people don't understand what an apostle is. An apostle is one who's well-educated in starting and running and setting churches up. And he was putting his church in order here, the Corinthian church, because they were dividing themselves up through the glory of men. And he says wisdom doesn't come from the glory of men. And so when he gets into chapter 2, Paul does his finest work at letting the Corinthian church know where maturity comes from. And there's a word here that's very interesting that caught my attention in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and that's the word we speak, and that's in verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, or we could say mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now, I want you to notice what he said in verse 4. He said, my preaching and my teaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but he said, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And the reason that they were clinging from one minister to the other minister is because they felt that minister had the wisdom that was necessary for them. And when you do that, you're a babe in Christ and don't even realize it, because all these ministers were given for one purpose and one purpose alone, to help reveal to you what you've inherited as a New Testament believer. Because he says all things are yours. He says that before he gets into chapter 2. He says all things are yours. Why are you clinging from one man to the other and tearing yourselves apart from each other? When did you know that you're the inheritor and all these servants are their subservants? You know, the higher you go on the ladder, the more subservient you become. He that's greatest among you is servant of all. Everybody desires the pulpit, but the pulpit's the lowest place in a church to be. Because when you are entering into ministry, you demote your position with humanity. You become a love slave, and therefore your service now is to see to it that every need is met in the church as far as the wisdom of God's concerned. Amen. And yet you find people that don't want to go by way of how God promotes. He promotes you by demoting you. You know, the word office in the Greek, it doesn't mean title. The word office means function. It means function. It doesn't mean title. People want titles so that they can get everybody to do something for them. Really, if you want position, get a hold of the heart of everyone in the church and serve that heart. You'll find the wisdom of God. Well, what the Corinthian church were doing, they were trying to find the one that met their need, rather than realizing that they only exist so that one can plant and one can water, but God's the one that's got to give an increase. Well, Paul says, with that kind of attitude, you're not even mature enough to even understand what it means to find where the wisdom of God is. Do you know the wisdom of God is not at Bias Word Christian Center? The wisdom of God is not at some other church. The wisdom of God is in the Holy Ghost, in the hearts of men. Amen? And yet a lot of people don't realize that. Now, the reason I brought up howbeit we speak wisdom among them are perfect, because he was going to head into a direction now and let the Corinthian church know where even he gained his wisdom or insight. Where he even gained it. But before we do that, I want us to go back to chapter 1, and I want us to look at verse 30 just for a second. Chapter 1, verse 30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. Now this verse is a very interesting verse. This verse is in chronological order. He says, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now, he said that the Jews were seeking literally after a sign, and the Greeks were seeking after wisdom. They were seeking after all these things. And the Corinthian church had the signs, but they didn't have much wisdom. Why? Because the outward sign that they didn't have much wisdom is a preference of ministers to meet their personal need rather than discovering who the Lord Jesus Christ is really all about. You know, a lot of Christians, it's a proven fact today, they enter more into looking for the glory in men rather than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's who you're really seeking after. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. How he would act, what he would say, and what he would do. Now, he said, notice this, what I mean in chronological order. First of all, he uses the term wisdom. Why did he say wisdom? Because in order for wisdom to have an effect, it has to have an effect in your life called righteousness. So when wisdom comes, you begin to walk in righteousness or right standing with God. So you have to have the wisdom before you can do the righteousness. Are you following what I'm saying? Then once righteousness is embedded into our life, it sanctifies us from the world. It sanctifies us from the world. And in that sanctification, then our redemption is made complete. How many got that? And it has to be in that order. You cannot sanctify without the proper wisdom. You can't operate in righteousness or right standing with God without, first of all, having the wisdom that you can do that. So wisdom has to come from above. Matter of fact, when God was talking to me about speaking in tongues and told me, I was arguing with him about the amount of time speaking in tongues. Is it necessary, all that necessary, to do that much speaking in tongues? Because it seemed like the more I did it, the drier things got. And that's when God told me, he says, you live in Washington, you don't know how your clouds are seeded? He says, the more you speak in tongues, the more you seed the cloud above you for that wisdom to come down from above. You see. And there is no such thing. The Bible does not teach. I'm sorry to say this. The Bible does not teach, and I'm going to be very bold about it, does not teach there is such a thing as an unknown tongue. There is no such thing in the Bible. God did not design a language to keep people stupid. And that's the way the church as a whole looks at praying in tongues. It's really not all that necessary. Why? Well, first of all, tongues are always associated with being apart from your understanding. So why really do it? It's really not all that effective. Do you know tongues is the only means through which you draw the higher form of knowledge out of the heart of God? You can't do it through your intellect. It's impossible. Why? Your intellect's not designed to draw that kind of information. It's not designed for that. That's why tongues are unique for our dispensation. Why? Because we live in the dispensation called the dispensation of the new birth. We have been planted in the likeness of his death. We shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. When he came out of the grave, he didn't come out of the grave via the cross. He came out of the grave newness of life. Are you following me? Why? Because he left the cross going into the grave. When you got born again, you went to the cross and came out of the grave. New birth. We were born again. We were regenerated from above. We did it again. Being born again means you did it again. You did it again. What did I do again? You got born again. A lot of Christians don't know that. You know, he says, if you really want to start growing in Christ, you've got to become as a little child. He didn't mean stupid. He meant, get this understanding in you that when you got born again, you got born again and became a little child again. And there's where the wisdom of God will begin to flow when you get that in your thinking. Some Christians come into the kingdom of God and think they know everything. And they never go via the understanding you must become as a little child in order to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You've got to take all that you understand and all that you've ever learned that has came from this world that didn't come from God. That's why if you're a new creature in Christ, those old things have got to be put down. You've got to start all over again. And you've got to stand before God and say, God, I'm a baby in Christ. I've been born again. One day, I got to start learning. And so what's he do? He gives you, I better not say that word. He gives you the bottle of milk right away. I didn't use the other word. I didn't use the word breast. Okay. He gave you the milk. You know, most people that I've seen that entered into a lot of pride is they get born again, and especially somebody that is famous, they get born again and they put them into a position of recognition and stuff a big fat piece of meat in their mouth and say, now give it to everybody. And it don't work. They come off with weird doctrines and weird concepts and never start off as a little child. Hey, Master, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he says, come here, little child. And he brings this little child. And this is going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Why? He's going to realize that when you're born. Do you know that 11 years old is not very old? How many of you can remember 11 years old? I can't. So when you've been in the Lord for 20 years, in equivalent to natural man, 20 years old is not very old. And yet you see some Christian been born again 3 years and they think they know everything. Or 4 years. Well, that's about right for, well, I guess little kids there, they, well, anymore, they got their own mind. Tristan, I have to deal with that guy. Anyway, nowadays kids that are in their teens, like Lindsay, they have arrived. They know everything. Well, I know Christians that are that way. Now, I made a bold statement, which all of you are probably saying, yeah, I need that clarified. There is no such thing as an unknown tongue in the Bible. Matter of fact, even your King James translation, some of your other translations, they got it italicized, which means it was never there. Well, actually, the word we speak here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, but we speak, it is not the word lego. It is the word laleo. There is a difference in those two words. Laleo comes from glossolalio, which means a tongue. A tongue. And the word lego comes from a word we speak, and it also is a language. But the difference between the two is one is a language that you know. A language that you know. So when I say to Kelly, I say, Kelly, you know, we spoke to each other the other day. I can say, we spoke in a language we both understood, lego. Lego means words, a word that connects to another word that you can put together to make something. How many of you know you got those toys, Legos? Well, the reason that they're called Legos, it came from that Greek word, is that you can put together all these little parts that form an object. How many of you have ever done that with your kids? Put all these Legos together to make a car or make an animal of some kind or whatever. You know, well, it doesn't look like the animal you think it should, but in their imagination, that's what you connect together. Well, the reason the word Lego is so powerful is because it means you're communicating and connecting words together you can understand. But whenever you use the word laleo, it means a known language somewhere, but it's apart from your understanding. In other words, it's a language that has a meaning, but it only has a meaning in that culture or that nationality. They understand it, but you don't. So the word for laleo literally means a language apart from your understanding. Well, then why did God do that? Why did he give you that language to keep it away from your understanding? Because God didn't want you limited to the teachers of men. He wanted you to be instructed directly by the Holy Ghost. Are you following me? Sent from above. So that you would begin to know and see the Lord differently. And that is the purpose of the Holy Ghost. He's the first thing he's purposed to do is to quicken your inward spirit with that new language. Now, when you get born again, you might not speak in tongues. But the whole object of the Word of God is to spark that understanding in you to kick off the language of your spirit. Yeah, but Pastor, what if they don't speak in tongues and they refuse it? Then their spirit is very limited by the soul. Can your soul really understand the things of God? Yes, but to a very limited degree. I mean, you can only understand the Word of God flesh level, period. Because you don't have the ability to go beyond the natural mind. Do you think God gave your soul over to yourself? I hope you don't think that. The first thing he says after you get born again is that you got to get saved from your own thinking. Reasonings. You know, a lot of people reason things away. Praying in the Spirit will deal with that kind of things. Are you following me? Now, most of your teachers today, they sound so good, especially on television and all that. They talk about renewing the mind. I've read every book possible that's made, and not one of them got it right. They said that you can have your mind renewed by getting into the right crowd. That's saying get your mind renewed by the right environment, and that's the worst thing you can do. You want to be a rich man? Run with the rich men. You want to be a poor man? Think poor. Why? Run with them. Do you know that that's a law that goes into operation because of the weakness of our soul? It has the ability to adapt. You want to be a gossiper in the church? Run with the church gossipers. You'll become one. You want to overcome sin? Run with those that overcome sin. Are you following me? Why? Because your soul, there's a weakness to it. It'll adapt to whatever you give it. That's why I always caution people, man, don't let your soul ever give it an opportunity to settle itself into a complacent position. It'll want to do that every time. It'll look for every reason under the sun to get out from under the Word of God. Why? It don't like it. The carnal mind is at enmity with God. My carnal thinking is at war with God. That's where you put confidence in your flesh, you're in trouble. Because your soul will adapt to whatever you allow it to have its way. Well, how do I know that I'm having its way? It's reasonings. It'll always talk you out of something. Especially praying in tongues. Well, then, Pastor, then is there any other language other than the language of men? Yes, there's a language of the heavenly host. There's a language of angels. Did you know that? Now, I have spoken, I believe at one time, I had spoken in an angelic tongue. I don't know if you guys remember, we were in a very difficult situation. Well, I guess you guys wouldn't know the intensity of it, but it looked like our ministry was basically shut down because of me clinging to men rather than God for my confidence. And I got into the park one day, and I began to pray in the Holy Ghost, and all of a sudden my tongues changed, and it was a weird dialect. And all of a sudden I was so acclimated in the Spirit, and I guess I was there about 4 or 5 hours praying in the Holy Ghost. Sometimes it takes me 45 minutes to get into the Spirit. Sometimes it just seems like the Spirit left me someplace, you know. So I don't go by feelings anymore, but every once in a while you get feelings. And I was acclimated. And all of a sudden, it was weird because I was kind of in one of those visions that Kenneth Hagin talked about where you can see yet you don't see, but you do see. You know, and then I could see a swarm around me, and I didn't understand what it was at first. Then I started making out figures. But they were in a chalky form, real, so light you could hardly see them, but you could get a glance at them. And I was speaking in this real weird language. And all of a sudden, it was like I was giving a command. And as I gave this command, now, should I tell this, Lord? Or they'll think. Okay, I'll go ahead. I don't feel a check to do it. Sometimes there's a lot that has happened in my prayer life that I really don't teach. And I have to have permission from them because people can get into their imaginations. You know what I mean? I don't want you to do that. I want you to really understand this is a real experience I had, not my figment of my imagination. Some people are in their prayer closet 3 minutes and they've gone to the third heaven and they've heard Jesus personally. I've never had that experience. But it was really weird, and I just felt such a boldness in me. I knew I was operating in a kind of faith I normally don't operate in. And all of a sudden, it was really weird, but it was like I had the presence of God on one side and the presence of evil on another. Now, don't ask me how to explain that. I can't explain it. But right before me, it seemed like I had two angels on the side of this demon spirit that was screaming to get away from me. I mean, it was kicking and screaming and pulling, and it couldn't leave. And then all of a sudden, I looked at that spirit, and I began to bark some commands to it in this weird language. And all of a sudden, it was like the angels let it go. And then our ministry turned totally around. So what I believe had happened was that in that process of being acclimated, I went into the presence of a stronghold, a principality that was coming against our ministry because of where we were headed. And that's when things turned around. You follow me? The very next day, it broke for our funding. It was a bond program at that time. You probably remember that, John. And that's where our funding broke. It just seemed like we were hitting brick walls wherever we went, and it finally broke. And that's when we were talking in that room with... was you there, John? Was you on the board at that time when we went to that one investor that came in? And remember, I went into a trance in the meeting, and that's when Jesus walked through the wall and walked up and put his hand on the man's shoulder. And his name was John Brown. And was he what, from Kansas? Yeah. John Brown from Kansas. Isn't that interesting? How many of you remember John Brown? Yeah, he's a wither in the grave, you know that. Yeah, he's a withering in the grave. You remember John Brown? How many of you ever seen the old Errol Flynn movies? He fought John Brown and killed him. Anyway. Or he got him to where he was hung. Anyway. The Lord Jesus put his hand on the man's shoulder right after that experience I had in the park in prayer. Put his hands on that man's shoulder and says, he's the one. Turn around, walk back out. And I'm in this trance. And so I forgot whether it was John Calloway or somebody else. They said, well, what do you think? And I go, yeah, we're going to go for it. And, of course, my board goes, is it going to be that quick of a... I said, yeah, we're going to go. We're going to go for it. And, of course, he was the one. You know, he hooked us up with the investors. So how many of you have struggled in your life with things? Sometimes you need supernatural impartation, a setting aside from with God until it comes. See, I didn't understand intercession and how to enter into it many times, and I thought I was dying. Like one time I went out in the park and I ended up doubling over from this pain in my stomach, and somebody said, well, if you feel it in your stomach, it could be your chest. You don't want to mess with these things. So I thought I had a heart attack. And that's when I was trying to crawl up this hill, and finally the Lord spoke to me. He says, you're in intercession. Carry it through. Don't try to go to no doctor. And well, nobody ever taught intercession. I've been in prayer meetings where women started screaming like with groanings which cannot be uttered. And I got to thinking, they're just weird. I didn't even bear witness. But whenever I entered into that place, I was always alone. You know, I wasn't in a place where I'd shock people. And so I'd go into this form of intercession. And then when it was done, the plug was pulled. And boy, the prayer answer came. You ever heard praying through? That's almost a... enigma anymore. Have you ever heard about praying through? Well, yeah, I'd like to do that, but McDonald's is only open for so long. You know what I mean? That's the way a lot of people are. They don't pray things through. I've had to pray some things through that God had revealed to me about me, that it was hopeless for me to get rid of because it hurt me too deep. But I had to pray through. And in one form of intercession, I didn't even know I was in intercession. I'd be praying in the Holy Ghost. I'd begin to cry. And I begin to cry, and I'd feel this deep sadness in me. And I'm saying, God, why am I crying? And, you know, just carry on like that. And finally, when I went to Russia, I asked Dave, I said, Dave, you know, why is it when I get into prayer, I just end up starting to cry? He said, oh, that's intercession. That's groanings that can't be uttered. I said, that's not a groan to me. It's a cry. I didn't groan. I was crying. He said, that's what it is. I just broke down and started bawling. But boy, when the answer comes, you're purged. You'll know it. But a lot of people don't really develop a fellowship with God to experience these kind of things. And they're always not pleasant, especially when you're dealing with yourself. You know what I mean? Everybody else can see you but you. It's like your eyes are opened up and you're looking backwards. It's not good. Now, before my time escapes me, we're not going to be too long today. I was already given that. Anyway. Verse 6. Howbeit we speak, laleo. This is the only word he uses in chapter 2. He doesn't use the word lego, which means, howbeit we speak a language that does what? It brings forth the mysteries in the kingdom of God. Now, if you have a W.E. Vines expository dictionary, it's very interesting how he brings it out. He says the word mysteries is not like the natural English usage. It means hidden truths revealable. Hidden truths that are revealable. And what he was saying, and they're only revealable at a time appointed by God, when the person who's speaking in these mysteries is illuminated to receive it. Are you following what I'm saying? Read your Vine's expository dictionary. It's powerful. You get a little paragraph there. He brings that out. And how you look it up is the word mystery. So if you've got a Vine's, look it up. Take time to do it. It's really powerful. And he says, and only those that are illuminated by the Spirit. There is an illumination of the Spirit. Now, this is the word Paul uses here about saying that your Christian growth does not emanate from the glory of a man. It emanates from a language that is only understood by the mature, those who've entered into maturity. You know, you find it in Proverbs. It says, counsel is deep in the heart of man, but a man of understanding will know how to draw that counsel out. See, that was a prophetic utterance given in the book of Proverbs. You find it all through Proverbs about the ability of the tongue. That's why we're talking in Sunday nights about words. Remember, we broke into an area of words, and a lot of you responded and said, wow, I never really saw God's word like that, the way you brought it out. But words are very important. God uses them to develop and mature humanity because he created us. Are you following what I'm saying? And so the word laleo, when I saw that language there, laleo, apart from my intellect, but you got to remember the word laleo, you can look it up in any Greek manual, it'll tell you it is a known language somewhere. The only reason that laleo takes on a different meaning is because when that word laleo, meaning a language of some culture or some tribe or some society on earth, whenever that language is used, in the Bible it's always referred to that person receiving that language that he doesn't know it. He doesn't understand it. Well, what would be the purpose of that? It's God's sheer genius to keep your natural brain out of his ability to communicate back to you through the agency of the Holy Ghost. He wants to leave your understanding out of it. Well, what's the purpose of leaving your understanding out of it? The purpose of leaving your understanding out of it is so that he can get the information back to you without your brain stopping the revelation. Now, some of us have we have arrived beyond God's thinking. We already have entered into our soul power, and therefore our soul is really how God's interpreted in our life. And if that's the case, you still have not developed spiritually. Because God didn't tell you to deliver your soul by your own intellect. If you think that's the case, you ain't begun to grow yet. Somebody says, you know, Pastor, I know what to do, I just don't do it. It's because you're receiving a lot of information, but it's not coming out of your spirit, it's going to your soul. Your soul cannot produce the power of God. Your soul cannot produce the power of God. It has to be your spirit that is literally renewed to deliver the soul. I don't know why. Lord, I know you provided healing. And I just ain't getting healed. Somebody told me, well, what if it don't work? When you're in faith, there's no what ifs. I mean, it's stone cold, dead in the water. Die hard. What if I die believing God? That's a good way to go. You know what the Lord told me? He says, you don't die when you go by way of faith. Why? Faith delivers you. I just don't understand that. I know. Because your soul is trying to figure it out. Don't ask me. How many of you have ever stepped out in faith and decided to really do it? Doesn't that feel weird? Reasoning kicks in real fast. And then pretty soon, well, it's all right to use a doctor. Well, if you've already taken that avenue, don't let me stop you. Why? You dead duck if I don't let you go that route. But there's some people, they ain't got a choice and they think they do. Because even the doctor says, I can't help you. I knew a lady attended our church. And I couldn't get her to break out of her reasoning for all the things. To the point where she finally lied to me. It took her to a grave. Why? Because her reasoning. You know, reasoning cannot be dealt with except through your spirit. Now, Pastor, what about this laleo? If you follow this down through, I want you to follow me real close. Let's go down to verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Now, what in the world is he talking about? For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? You want me to give you a little brief synopsis of this? The spirit of man which is in him? It's talking about spiritual death in its nature. It's talking about our natural world here, our physical world, has a nature that operates in it. According to spiritual death. What is spiritual death? Separation from God. When an unbeliever is doing what he does, and you ask him why he's doing what he does, he'll tell you what he is doing because his spirit understands what he's doing. Are you following me? Why? He has the spirit of the world. Are you following me? And because he has that spirit of the world, everything that he knows is through that nature, that spiritual nature, that death. Are you following me? I don't know why sinners do what they do. It's their nature. They do it because it's their nature to do it. You can't go to them and tell them to quit go-go dancing. Well, I guess, is it go-go no more? Go-go's? It's something else. Whatever. Now it's lewdness dancing. Well, let's preach against that unfruitful works. That is not the unfruitful works that the Bible's talking about. It's talking about allowing spiritual death to enter back into a believer's life. That is where we get into unfruitful works. They're doing their nature. They're doing what comes natural to them. They're doing what they're doing because it's their nature to do it. And that's all that they know is according to that nature. That's what that verse is referring to. The reason that the world does what it does, it's their nature to do what they're doing. And Christians get saved and they turn around and they start judging the whole world and they act like it's not, they're not supposed to do that. Well, they're doing that because they want to do that. Why? It's their nature to do that. But you got a new nature now, and the reason that you come against that world is because now your nature is opposed to that nature. Get a clue. When you get born again, you get a godly conscience that says, you don't live that way no more. I hope you've got that kind of conscience. Some, I wonder. Now, notice what he says here. For what man knoweth? He only knows things according to that nature, save the spirit of man which is in him. That nature which is in him. Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. And he's not referring to the Holy Ghost there. He's referring to the reason you get born again is so you have the capacity now to know the things that are of God. And this is the thing that was prophesied in the Old Testament. They're not going to teach every person to know God. They shall know me from the least to the greatest because I will be in them. The problem is it's so subtle how God moves into our heart, we don't get a recognition to it like we do the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Are you following me? When a man gets born again, he might not feel nothing. Then he might feel something. Now notice what he says. Even so, thank God for the right S's on the right spirit. The translators put the wrong S's on the wrong spirit. And in the Greek, it's all little s anyway. Now he goes on to say, even so the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Thank God our translators got that S right. But the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And he's not talking about the Holy Ghost. You understand the things of God because you got born again and you now have the capacity to know the things of God. You're not like an Old Testament believer. God could speak to them time and time and time and time and create a miracle and part seas and have clouds over them and fire over them and they still didn't get it. Why? They had a nature that was contrary to believing him. And we don't have that. If you as a believer have a desire for the things of the world, you've got to deal with your spirituality. You're dead in God and you don't even know it. Because the more you get into God, the more on fire you get. I'm so on fire for God, I now have a perfect hatred operating in my heart. There are things that I run into, I listen to, I hate with a passion. Why? Because it wasn't some preacher standing up and warning me with fear. That ain't going to cut it. That'll make drive you more into it. Some Christians say, oh, you smoke cigarettes? Yeah. Holy Ghost left, brother. Holy Ghost left. Well, whoever gave us the idea that we need to get cleaned up before we can have the Holy Ghost jump into us? I need the Holy Ghost to get the world jump out of me. My son, I'll never forget Mikey. He went to a rock concert. I'll tell you, these concerts, you talk about demonic activity. I told Mikey, I said, you stay away from them concerts. They'll steal your heart from God. They'll steal your heart from God. And he went to this rock concert. He said, oh, Dad, you know, you're tired. Christian. Yeah, I mean, Christian. I said one day, I said, God, open his eyes. That's all I prayed. Open his eyes. Now, Mikey, he kept messing with the world, but he kept messing with God at the same time. Bob Shambly knows Mike. Mikey just had a hard time, flesh. And he went to this rock concert. And I forgot what. Oh, AC/DC. AC/DC. And so they're up there doing their thing. Nowadays, they don't wear clothes. Anyway, they're up there doing their thing. And you know something? Hey, I'm not against those that go to concerts. I'm not against you. That's just not where I'm at because the love of God got bigger than that stuff. I used to go to rock concerts. The Doors. Pop a few more pills. I get so high I didn't know whether I was dancing even with a guy that's turned into a girl one time. They're all laughing at me. Flagging on a guy girl. I was so high and I was Holy Ghost.
No, I wasn't. I was so high in the flesh. Holy Ghost wasn't even a part of my life. I was baby like my fire stuff. And I said, God, open his eyes. And Mikey went to that AC/DC concert, and he said all of a sudden, he felt funny all over. And he was on cocaine. I mean, he was higher than a guy. And all of a sudden, he said he saw into the spirit realm, and he said all those singers turned into like monkeys, imp-looking things. And they were actually singing, come on and let me have your heart. Come on and let me have your heart. Come and worship us and worship us. And Mikey is going... He's so freaked out, he ran from that, got on the freeway, and was running on the freeway without hitchhiking. It freaked him out. And he ran to my house, 2 a.m, and banging on the door, and I opened it up, and he came in. And he said, Dad, I couldn't believe it. I'm shook up. I need your help. And he was crying, and I just held him, you know. And I didn't condemn him for going to the concerts, you know. But I sure liked it when the Lord revealed to him what was really behind these musicians. There is death behind these musicians. That's why I'm always on Lindsay's case. Watch what you listen to. You ought to have your kids watch what they listen to. These things are promoted by the devil or are promoted by God. And we got Christian singers now promoted by the devil. Well, God uses him. Well, eventually they're going to have to get off of it and get onto something solid. You know what I mean? We're speaking on tongues, by the way. How'd they get off on this? Somebody out here needed this. That's the only way I'm going to justify this one, this rabbit trail. But now look at this. Oh, that's how I got onto it, the spirit of the world versus her. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God. Hey, can I tell you something? Isn't it nice that Paul would tell us that the Holy Spirit was not the spirit of the world? I don't think so. He's telling us when we got born again what spirit we got. We got the life and nature and the spirit of Christ. That's the spirit he's referring to here. He says that is freely given to us what? Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but what the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. The word here, also we speak, is the word laleo. And he's talking about that heavenly tongue that was given to you. He says that's how we draw the mysteries out of the kingdom of God, with a language that bypasses our understanding. We don't use our psychikos. We don't use our natural understanding. Because he says the natural, verse 14, but the natural man, that is the word psychikos, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto them, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually scrutinized. It takes spirit to scrutinize the Word of God. Are you guys getting something? Now I'm going to tell you, there are some people who even substituted their prayer language for their understanding. You know, you have to pray just as much as you understand. You do praying in tongues. There are Christians praying in tongues all day long, and they still act weird. Why? Because they don't have a balance in their life. Now, I want us to go up to a verse that people have really messed up. Verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit is what searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. He is not referring to the Holy Ghost in verse 10. Actually, I'm going to read it out of the Greek language. For God revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And the Holy Ghost is not searching for the deep things of God's mind, because the Holy Ghost is the mind of God. They're one and the same. And so I've had people say that verse is referring to the Holy Ghost searching. And then I forgot, somebody told me one time, what difference does it make? It makes a big difference when you begin to realize that your spirit is the part of you that's got to search out the deep things of God. And how does your spirit search out the deep things of God? The tongue. The tongue. The tongue. The tongue. Now, over in Isaiah 28, in closing, I got to close. Over in Isaiah 28, there's a prophetic utterance that was given to the nation of Israel because the priesthood got wacko. Got real wacko. I mean, it got so bad it started teaching wrong doctrine. Incorrect doctrine. Wrong doctrine, incorrect doctrine. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you're going to find a reference given to Isaiah 28. Where Paul brings it up, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. And he used that particular passage because he brought a rebuke to the Corinthian church. Now, what kind of rebuke did he bring to the Corinthian church? In all that speaking in tongues, yet the word of God was just merely line after some line after some line that they could fall back. He was referring to our generation. Even though we even had the right language to draw the right doctrine, we will fall back and be snared and taken because the word of God to us means nothing, even though we have the language in our mouths. Matter of fact, over in Isaiah 28, think around verse 11, it's worded different in the actual Hebrew. It doesn't say for line must be upon line, precept must be upon precept. It is a command and it's very direct. It says for a commandment to a commandment, to a commandment. For a line to a line to a line. It's talking about proper meditation in the Word of God. It means you don't pull one line out and join it to another unless you understand the line in the text first. God's very precise at educating us. And yet we come up with such weird doctrine. Thank God I've done that a lot. Come up with weird doctrine. Why? It so hurts good when you got to get corrected. See, I was reading that and it says, for the word of God merely was to them, line upon line, precept upon precept, so they could fall back and be snared and taken. I looked at it as he was speaking to those priests then. He wasn't. He was given a prophetic utterance of our time when correct knowledge would come forward and even we would do the same thing. You know, there's a lot of ministers out there bringing a lot of people into the kingdom of God and keeping them stupid. Because they themselves teach that the tongues have passed away or it's not necessary. Or if you're going to speak in tongues, it's because God gave it to you and He just doesn't give it to everybody. You know, we always throw the blame back off on God. Every step you take is a choice you make. And if your choices are wrong, you will reap your choices. Now in closing, I am going to close. This thought came to me. Well, if you use the word laleo, which is glossolalio, if you use the word leo, it's a known language somewhere. It's apart from Anglican. Then we got a problem. You know what problem I had? The devil. And I got to thinking, what language doesn't he use? Do you know Satan works over in Iran? How about Iraq? Now, did you know that you could go over to Iraq and listen to them talk and you wouldn't understand a word they were saying? But did you know something? Satan is alive and well and operating very powerfully. Why? He knows their language. What happened? You got baptized in the Holy Ghost and you speak in that foreign tongue. An Iraqi tongue. Just don't tell us about it. No, I'm just kidding. Some of you got it. But what if you were speaking in one of those languages? Well, the devil, then he knows what I'm saying when I speak in tongues. I can't handle that. Oh, I know. I'm speaking in tongues of an angel. That's why. He is an angel. He's an angel. Matter of fact, he was a pattern for all angels. Oh, no. And I said, Lord, one day I said, when I speak in tongues, does the devil understand what I'm speaking? And the Lord said, yeah. I said, well, then he could make a plan of defense against me.
He says, no, he won't. And I said, why? First of all, he won't listen to you. I said, what do you mean he won't listen to me? He says, listening to a believer speaking in tongues is his torture. And I says, really? How is it his torture? He says, because he knows what you're saying, the words of it, but he don't understand the wisdom behind it. Because it's the wisdom of God. It started with God in your heart, and it ends with being answered in your heart by God. Satan's problem is he can't get to the one who gives the answer to the language. He can't stop God. Have you ever heard of that movie, Wind Talkers? They had to hire the Indians to come in and do a language that they couldn't break. The code? Are you following me? Because once the code was broken, they could attack more precisely. Is that correct? Well, we're just a bunch of wind talkers to the kingdom of darkness. And when we speak in that heavenly language, he knows that we've got a communication going. But he don't know how to stand in defense against it. So he don't hang around because we just torture him to death. Because especially if the answer comes back for his defeat, he don't want to sit around and look at it. That's why he says he doesn't attack you with a sword. He shoots at you with flaming darts. Arrows. Why? He wants to fight at a distance, and you and I are supposed to get up on his tail end and draw a sword. It doesn't matter whether he understands your language or not. He's not going to stick around to find out what you're saying or what's going to come. He adioses. Did you guys get something here today? Stand up, everybody. See, it's my spirit with that language that searches out the deep things of God. It's my spirit. That's why I love praying in tongues every day. It's my spirit. I'm so accustomed to it now. I'm so accustomed to it now of praying in the spirit. I'm so accustomed to it now, I'll do it not even knowing I'm doing it. Are you following me?